As you can see, we've got Brother Andy with us tonight, and he's going to talk to us on the subject, the Good Shepherd. It is a change from the programme, but it was announced on Sunday, I believe, that was the case. And in connection with his talk, he's actually asked us to take a reading from John's Gospel, chapter 10. John's Gospel, chapter 10, and the first 21 verses. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not in by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth unto his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, and they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. And he and all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, and the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catches them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is a hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and have known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, He hath a devil, and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And with that reading, we now call upon Brother Andy to address us on the subject, the Good Shepherd. Brother Andy.
Good evening, brothers and sisters. There has been a change to the subject, which I talked about last week, but yes, we're going to look at this subject of the Good Shepherd this evening. You'll need a marker in John chapter 10, but we need to set the context, really, of this chapter before we go anywhere else. And it's a verse in the chapter that we've not read yet. It's verse 22 that sets the context. It doesn't have much to say, but it says this, and it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. The feast of lights is another way of looking at this, another name for it, and its duration was 8 days. And it would seem it was in the middle of December. So we're looking at a time period approximately 3 months before the death of the Lord. That sets the context of all what is going on here and all that's being said. It's a continuation of chapter 9. Do you remember what happened? The blind man and the scribes and the Pharisees and all the things that happened there. We note the last verse of John chapter 9. The comment, this crushing retort of the Lord Jesus, of the Pharisees. What does he say? verse 41, Jesus said unto them, if ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye see, now ye say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. And you'll recall in chapter 9 how they'd cast him out. Do you remember? When they asked him various questions, and he was trying to say to them, what verse is it? I think it's verse 34 of chapter 9. Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? It was almost that they were offended by his reaction to their questions. And they cast him out, or excommunicated him. That's what it means. That's what's in the margin. But it's interesting when you go into chapter 10, that verse 4, and when he, Jesus, putteth forth his own sheep, that's the same phrase. This phrase cast out from chapter 9 and verse 34. This phrase putteth forth. So the blind man had been driven from one fold and received into another by the good shepherd. Before we go any further, we need to consider the meaning of this word good, as in the good shepherd. And in William Barclay's book of New Testament words, he has a lot to say about this, and it was very helpful to me. It's this word, kalos, K-A-L-O-S. And there's only a couple of times that it's actually mentioned in this meaning. Well, one of the loveliest stories in the New Testament is the account of the anointing of Jesus by the woman in the house of Simon the leper in Bethany. Keep a marker in John chapter 10, and we'll go and look at Matthew 26. The woman loved Jesus, and this was the only way that she could show it. But the dull, insensitive, unimaginative reaction of the disciples criticized her for her reckless extravagance. So it's Matthew chapter 26, and we'll go in at verse 6 for connection. Now when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. And when the disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. I wonder who actually said that. Was it Judas? Doesn't say. It may have been. He was quite interested in money, wasn't he? For perhaps the wrong reason. Come down to verse 10. And when Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work. And that's the word kalos, brothers and sisters, that word good. She hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. So this incident is the perfect illustration of what this word means. It was a demonstration of her love for Jesus. It was the act of love which refused to count the cost, which refused to be dictated by common sense. A deed which is good is the outcome of a heart which love reigns supreme. The second time this word is used is to describe the Good Shepherd, as we see in John chapter 10. You see, the shepherd does not look after his sheep with only a cold efficiency. He looks after them with a sacrificial love. When the sheep are in trouble, he doesn't calculate the risk of helping them. He gives his life for them. He doesn't give so many hours service to the sheep per day and then calculates how many hours he should work for them and look after them in a week. All through the day he watches over them. All through the night he lies across the opening to the sheepfold. He is therefore literally the door. We'll come back to that. Here we have the same idea again. The good shepherd is the shepherd whose service is a lovely and heroic thing, because it is a service not rendered for pay, but rendered for love. So the basic idea of this word kalos is the idea that nothing can be good unless it is a product of love from a heart in which love reigns supreme. There is not one English word to describe this word when it is translated in this way. There is no word which gathers within itself the usefulness, the generosity, the beauty, the attractiveness which is all included in this word. So when we consider the good shepherd, we must see the meaning of this word kalos in actions and motives of the Lord Jesus. The shepherd was a well-known figure in Palestine, clad with the simplest and roughest of clothes, equipped with a club and a staff. He faced hardship and danger continually. The straying sheep must have been found and carried back to the flock. The lion and the bear were an ever-present danger. The shepherd's calling required courage and strength, patience and endurance. The club and staff were for defence and guidance of the flock. The staff corresponds to the crook used to guide and to rule the flock. The club, a formidable weapon in experienced hands, was for protection of the flock against all its foes. So the picture of the parable is particularly Eastern. And we must grasp this Eastern significance if we are to follow this personal claim and application which our Lord made. The picture is that of a shepherd and the fold and the flock. These were figures of speech in constant use. The shepherd always represents kingship, full and final authority. The shepherd is king and the king is the shepherd, and this embodies this Eastern idea. The fold represents the whole system of the kingdom over which the shepherd reigned. This is the picture that Jesus illustrated of this new order he had come to establish. So let's think about the flock for a moment, brothers and sisters. Come back with me to John chapter 10 and look at verse 16. Jesus says, "Another sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." You see, Jesus knew his work was not limited to the Jews. There were other sheep which must be led by him and hear his voice, the Gentiles, and being joined together with the Jews would become one fold. Just read on in verse 17. "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received from my Father. And there's a remarkable confidence in this continuation of his work after his death. It was his decision, wasn't it, to lay his own life down. It was the Father's will, but it was his decision. And he makes that powerfully clear here in these two verses, 17, 18. It's almost as if he talks about going to sleep and then getting up the next day and going back to work. That's how he talks about his laying down his life. Such was his confidence in his knowledge of the scriptures, presumably. Just go back to the beginning of John chapter 10, though, for a moment, and to verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. It's interesting that the emphasis in the first place is on the door, isn't it, of the sheep, to begin with. After then leading them out of the sheepfold through the door. Just come down to verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them, again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. I'd just like to quote to you from a section of a book by Campbell Morgan entitled The Gospel According to John. And he says this in this one paragraph. These two I ams, I am the door and the good shepherd, are interlocked in a wonderful way in light of Eastern life. It was once my privilege, he said, to cross the Atlantic with Sir George Adam Smith. I shall never forget the fascination of that voyage as he talked of those eastern lands he knew so well. One story he told me was this. He was one day travelling with a guide and came across a shepherd and his sheep. He fell into conversation with him. The man showed him the fold in which the sheep were led at night. It consisted of four walls and a way in, an entrance. Sir George said to him, that is where they go at night. Yes, said the shepherd. And when they are in there, they are perfectly safe. But there's no door, said Sir George. I am the door, said the shepherd. He was not a Christian man. He was not speaking in the language of the New Testament. He was speaking as an Arab shepherd. Sir George looked at him and said, what do you mean by the door? Well, when the light has gone, he said, all the sheep are inside. I lie in that open space, and no sheep goes out but across my body, and no wolf comes in unless he crosses my body. I am the door. So when Jesus says in verse 7, I am the door, we know what he means. If we're the sheep, brethren and sisters, he's protecting us from danger as he lies across the entrance to the sheepfold. And that's apparently what still goes on today. The Lord Jesus places himself between his sheep and any danger. Just come down to verse 9 in John chapter 10. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and go out and find pasture. Through him alone men and women should receive salvation. But I'd like to pick up on this phrase, brothers and sisters, that we see here, that we should go in and go out and find pasture. And it takes us back to Numbers chapter 27. Keep a marker in John 10 and come back with me to Numbers chapter 27. It's got quite warm in here, isn't it? Perhaps it's me hormones. I don't know. Numbers 27, and we need to look at verse 17, but we'll go in to verse 15 to begin with. And Moses spake unto the Lord, saying, Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation. And this is the time when Moses was going to stop leading the people, and Joshua was going to begin as their leader. Verse 16, Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd. That's where that phrase comes from, brothers and sisters, in John chapter 10. It's repeated again in verse 21 of Numbers 27. Just look halfway through the verse. At his word, the word of Joshua, shall they go out, and at his word they shall come in, both he and all the children of Israel with him, even all the congregation. So it was Joshua who was shepherd to Israel, Yah saves, who led them into the promised land. And in John chapter 10, it was Jesus, Saviour, who was shepherd to Jew and Gentile. Through him we can go in and go out and find pasture. And to emphasize the words of verse 9 even more, Jesus will save us and lead us into the promised land. What privileged people we are. Come back to John chapter 10 and look at verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Although it was the will of the Father, he gave up his own life. He's made that clear to us, hasn't he, in verse 17, 18. He contrasts himself with an hireling. I find this quite interesting, brothers and sisters. A man even worse than a thief, in that his regard for his own life is a dereliction of duty. Because he is hired and paid, he has no real regard for the sheep, and certainly would not risk his own life or his own skin for the sheep, but runs away in the face of danger. The shepherd, by contrast, would give up his life so as to preserve the sheep, every one, who are all known by name and all know his voice. Moses was a shepherd first to Jethro, wasn't he? Jethro's flock, and then to God's people. David also, the first king of divine choice, was shepherd first to his father's flock, then to the sheep of Israel. The lion and the bear met a dauntless defender in the flock of the flock in Jesse's son. I wonder if you'd come back with me, keep a marker in John, to Ezekiel chapter 34. We're going to spend just a few moments here, brethren and sisters, because we have a prophecy of the Lord Jesus But then I want to return and look at what it says about the false shepherds of Israel in a moment. Ezekiel 34 and it's verse 23 that we'd just like to pick up on. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David, and they shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. And although it says David's name, I think it's referring to the Lord Jesus, the prince, the shepherd. God, who judges after the heart, took him from following the sheep to be the shepherd to Israel. God was the greater shepherd of his people, who led the people through the angel in the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. And it was David in Psalm 23 who recognized it was the Lord who was his shepherd. But there's no need to turn to it, brothers and sisters, but David says this: the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And when you read it, brethren and sisters, and we know it well, don't we? That David actually thought that the Lord, the Almighty, was his shepherd. It's fantastic, isn't it? That he appreciated that that's what the Lord's position was. He led David. And we'll come in a few moments to consider that that may have been the position of the Lord Jesus. But just come back to Ezekiel 34 with me, brethren and sisters, for a moment. It is quite shocking to read these words in light of what we've been looking at in John chapter 10. This is what it says, verse 1 of Ezekiel 34. And the word of the Lord came unto me, Ezekiel, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God upon the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat of the fat, ye clothe you with the wool, ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. And every verse, as you look at it, as you go through it, brethren and sisters, it compounds their... They weren't shepherds at all. They were just looking after themselves. They weren't looking after the flock. And when they were injured, they didn't care for them. When they got lost, they didn't go out to look for them. Verse 6, my sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered on the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. That's not what we get from the New Testament, is it? When the shepherd went out to find the one that was lost and brought him back. They were a disgrace, were the false shepherds of Israel. So what did the Lord have to do? Verse 11. For thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered. And he goes on. He had to step in and do their job, did the Almighty, because they were doing such a bad job, brethren and sisters, were the shepherds, so-called shepherds of Israel. Perhaps the account of the false shepherds of Israel was the original source that Jesus thought of these three parables in Luke chapter 15 of the lost and found. The lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son. There certainly seems a correlation between these false shepherds of Israel and the scribes and Pharisees, particularly when with the way that Jesus made it personal to them in Luke chapter 15. What man of you, when he's talking to the scribes and the Pharisees, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go out to that which was lost until he find it? The thing about sheep, I don't know what it is, they're great at getting lost, aren't they? And they're not very good at finding the fold and coming back. But we smile, brethren and sisters, and it's quite humorous. But come with me to Isaiah chapter 53. And unfortunately, we're all in the same boat together. And there's just one verse here. We really haven't got time to spend any more time with this, but verse 6 of Isaiah 53, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. We've pleased ourselves. We've done our own thing. All of us, no exception. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And we're just like sheep naturally, aren't we? We get lost. We lose our way. We do our own thing. We find it very hard to come back. When in the parable of the lost sheep, the shepherd does not drive or lead the sheep back. He puts the sheep on his shoulders and celebrates with his friends and neighbours over the lost and found. Come with me to the prophecy of Isaiah and chapter 40. When we get another figure of the shepherd here in the prophecy of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 9. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountains. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. The Almighty has taken on this role, brethren and sisters, because of the false shepherds of Israel. We've seen it already, haven't we, in Ezekiel chapter 34. So the application of the shepherd figure to God and his son in the prophets gives great force and meaning to the words of Jesus when he describes himself as the good shepherd. In light of the Old Testament references, he claims that he was the manifestation of God, the God of Israel, the Son of God, and the Messiah. It's unfortunate that the chapter division dissociates the shepherd allegory from the discussion reported in John chapter 9. Jesus has convicted the Pharisees of blindness and incompetence in dealing with the flock of God. As bad shepherds, they had cast out this blind man. But the good shepherd had found him, thankfully. Come back to John chapter 10. And look at verse 14. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. And the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and lay down my life for the sheep. And because Jesus is the good shepherd, he knows his sheep, and they know him. But this close relationship and trust is a reflection of a similar close relationship that exists between himself and his Father. If he is the Lamb of God, brothers and sisters, God must be his shepherd. His trust and obedience of God's voice is the example of his sheep to trust and to obey him, springing from that knowledge of the Father in his readiness to lay down his life. Perhaps Psalm 23 is as much an expression of the Lord Jesus to his Father as it was to David. The sheep hear his voice. He calls them by name. The sheep follow him because they know his voice. Our names, we believe, brothers and sisters, are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We believe that we are the sheep in the parable. The question is, brothers and sisters, will Jesus call us by name and lead us into the promised land when he returns to establish God's kingdom? I think he will. He knows us all, and we'll know his voice. So in summary, brethren and sisters, we've considered together this evening and thought about this word kalos, this meaning of this word good, the idea that nothing can be good unless it is a product of love and comes from the heart in which love reigns supreme. Can our service of the Lord be described like that? Is it a product of love? Does it come from a heart in which love reigns supreme? It's tough, isn't it? But we've got to answer that for ourselves. As part of the flock, it is all too easy to go astray and actually get lost. We thought about the Good Shepherd being the door. The Lord Jesus Christ protects us from all harm and danger and shields us from all foes. The Lord gave up his life for the sheep so we can have hope of eternal life. We thought about the bad shepherds of Israel who had stopped looking after the sheep. We have responsibilities to our own ecclesias, don't we? To look after the fold. So we wait in the sheepfold for the Good Shepherd to return, who will reign over the whole world and, God willing, grant us an abiding place there. So what are we waiting for? To hear his voice, call out our name,